May it please the court, Peter Gregory on behalf of the petitioner here and after referred to as Metro Taxi. With me at council table is co-counsel Patricia Clisham. I'm going to attempt to reserve five minutes for rebuttal. This case raises significant issues affecting coverage under workers' compensation insurance policies. Given the public policy implications behind the Workers' Compensation Act, and that the provisions of a workers' compensation insurance policy are prescribed by statute, and that workers' compensation policies are closely regulated by the Division of Insurance, this court's ruling necessarily implicates the public policy of the state of Colorado. At its essence, this is a case governed by well-established principles of insurance coverage. Principles, which as we will discuss, Pinnacle and the ICAO, the Industrial Claim Appeals Office, have ignored. Pinnacle's position, as adopted by the ICAO, is that the classification of employees on a workers' comp insurance policy, which is used to determine the initial premium, acts as an exclusion from coverage for any employees not included within those classifications. That position, however, ignores the plain language of the policy. Now, with respect to the ICAO's decision, as addressed more fully in the brief, the ALJ repeatedly relied on the term, quote, covered classes of employees, end quote, and the ICAO in its order determined that the policy covered, quote, three classes of insureds, end quote. Significantly, however, the policy never uses the terms covered classes or classes of insureds. Accordingly, the ALJ and the ICAO decisions are based on language that does not appear in the policy. The upshot of Pinnacle's position and the ICAO's order is that an insurer and or an employer could pick and choose classes of employees to be covered or not covered under a workers' comp insurance policy. And the Workers' Comp Act does not allow that. If we look at section 845.101 subparagraph 1, which sets forth Pinnacle's powers, one of those powers is to offer workers' comp insurance covering, quote, any liability, end quote, of Colorado employers on account of injury or death of, quote, any employee, end quote. Similarly, if you look at 844-102, a workers' compensation insurance policy covers any liability of an employer on account of injuries or death of any employee as such. Now, contrary to the ICAO decision, the policy does not cover certain classes of, quote, insured, end quote, employees.
Having trouble separating what I think are two different lines of argument. Mm-hmm. And I'm not suggesting they're mutually exclusive. Are you saying that the policy doesn't exclude taxi drivers?
The policy does not exclude taxi drivers. That's
correct. Are you also saying that it doesn't matter what the policy says, Pinnacle can't write a policy that excludes some employees?
Yes, that's okay. The second argument.
Okay.
That statutorily, because the statute sets forth the provisions which must be included in a workers' comp policy, and because the Division of Insurance is obligated to approve those particular policies, and it's not file and use like you might see in the CGL setting. The Division of Insurance specifically has to approve the workers' comp policy forms. Because of those statutory provisions, which I just quoted, 845.101, which deals with Pinnacle, and 844.102, which deals with workers' comp policies in general, you cannot exclude a particular class of, quote, employee.
But isn't the circumstance here much grayer, because taxi drivers may not be employees for purposes of the Comp Act if the employer has provided certain other coverage for them?
That is the distinction, but it's not really a gray situation. If you look at the workers' comp policy, it specifically covers the, and we're looking at the insuring agreement of the policy, it specifically covers an employer for amounts the employer has to pay as benefits under the workers' comp law. Now, there's no question, Judge Webb, that what happened here was that at the time the policy was first written, Metro Taxi considered that its drivers were independent contractors pursuant to the independent contractor agreement that they had. It is also established, as set forth in the brief and the record, that Pinnacle, consistent with its obligation to investigate and underwrite its own policy, made a separate independent determination that based on the facts known to it, the taxi drivers were in fact independent contractors.
Okay, if that's the case, then I mean, why is your claim one of interpreting the policy as opposed to some kind of an E&O claim against Pinnacle?
Well, the reason is because, as it turned out, because of developments in the law later, the separate insurance policy that was procured to cover the drivers was not sufficient for workers' comp purposes. And as a result, as a consequence, under 40-11.5-102, these drivers were deemed to be employees. And it's the consequence of being deemed to be an employee which then implicates the Pinnacle policy again, because the Pinnacle policy provides that it will provide coverage for amounts that an employer has to pay as workers' comp benefits for an employee.
Why should the burden for determining the adequacy of this alternate insurance be on Pinnacle rather than on the taxi company?
Because both under the policy and statutorily, Pinnacle has the obligation to underwrite its own policy, and it issues then the policy which contains this broad grant of coverage, which says we will pay what you are obligated to pay under the Workers' Comp Act.
So you're saying that the taxi company can deliberately exclude these quote employees and then later insist that without premium Pinnacle cover them?
Well, there's a couple of issues there, Your Honor. First of all, there wasn't a, if you will, a deliberate exclusion of taxi drivers per se. What there was an attempt to exclude those workers who were classified as independent contractors. And there was an attempt to comply with the 40-11.5-102. Now, vis-a-vis the issue of, if you will, free coverage, that's a red herring, because if you look at the policy specifically addresses the fact that the initial classifications assigned by Pinnacle are based on the estimated exposure that the employer might have. The policy further provides in Section 5 that Pinnacle can go back through audit and reassign appropriate classifications if the actual exposure is not properly described by those classifications that were listed initially. Secondly, in answer to your questions, Judge Nieto, if you look at Part 5 of the policy, subsection C, which deals with remuneration, it says that the premium is based on the remuneration paid or payable during the policy period for the services of, one, all of your officers and employees engaged in work covered by this policy, and importantly, two, all other persons engaged in work that could make us liable under Part 1, which is workers' comp coverage. That section goes on to say this paragraph 2 will not apply if you give us proof that the employers of these persons lawfully secured their workers' compensation obligations. So what we see in the policy itself, and as you'll see in the brief, what Pinnacle holds itself out as in public representations is that it has superior underwriting capability, and it in fact has an obligation to determine what its exposure is, just like every other insurer in the state of Colorado. And so ultimately, it's not an issue of free coverage. It's an issue that Pinnacle improperly underwrote this policy, and when there was a change of circumstance, they could have come back in and requested an increased premium, and they didn't. Now, what I wanted to get to here is, you know, Pinnacle and ICIO rely extensively on the fact that there is a purported exclusion for employees, and in this instance, drivers. And I challenge Pinnacle to tell this court where in the policy that exclusion exists. The language is not in there, and it's not in there by statute. This is about an underwriting risk. And the facts of this case are not an anomaly. Insurers make judgment calls and take risks all the time. Here, Metro considered drivers to be independent contractors, and Pinnacle, based on its own analysis, agreed at the time the policy was issued. Pinnacle never went back and redid that analysis, but you ultimately have to come back to the language of the policy, and the plain language of the policy says that if Metro Taxi is obligated to pay workers' comp benefits, in this instance, because somebody was deemed to be an employee, then Pinnacle covers that risk. Now, the final remark I would make is, you know, this is a not, as I say, this is not an anomalous case, because we've certainly seen in the cases out of this court and out of the Supreme Court instances when you have other types of workers who are deemed to be employees, and they are then brought under the auspices of the workers' comp policy issued to the employer. So with that in regard, I reserve the remainder of my time. Thank you.
May it please the court. My name is Doug Rooksager. I represent Pinnacle Assurance. Two preliminary matters. First, I owe the court an apology for filing my opening brief not in their correct format and font. I know that's important to the court, and more importantly, I certified it was correct when it wasn't, so I apologize for that. Secondly, on page 5 of Metro's reply brief, they cite to a report by John Keyser, which was not admitted into evidence, and I just want to make it clear that we object to that. It's not significant in my mind, but I don't want the court to think that somehow that's evidence. I want to focus on three things, if I can. What the policy says, parties' responsibilities, and the game that Metro's playing with the workers' compensation system in Colorado. Nowhere do the papers, the briefs, the exhibits, and nowhere today does counsel tell the court that there was an intent to cover the taxi drivers. There was no intent to cover the taxi drivers. And if you look at the policy, it's clear. The undisputed testimony was that the way that you write coverage in Colorado, if you're going to exclude a class, is you don't endorse it on the policy information page. That's been the law in Colorado for 80 years. On page 13 of our brief, we cited Colorado Supreme Court cases from this court, where certain employees who are not covered under the classification on the policy information page were found not to be covered. That's what we have here. In this policy information page, we obviously see two different pages, because the policy information page on the top of page 2, in bold black letters, says coverage information, and it lists the class, three classes that are covered under the policy. It lists the three classes that Metro asked for coverage: office workers, salespeople, and garage workers. They specifically did not request, and the LJ made a finding of fact that they did not request, coverage for taxi drivers. Why? Because they were treating them as independent contractors. The bottom of the policy information page says, this policy information page reflects coverage, premium, and a couple other things. If the policy information page didn't reflect coverage, that language would be meaningless. But the policy information page is part of the policy, and that's how you exclude taxi drivers. When you look at how a policy came to be, there's no honest debate that there was no intent to cover the taxi drivers. Metro Taxi asked for coverage that included just three classes. Pinnacle would have loved to have written this policy. It was a high policy. It was a high dollar premium policy. So they asked Metro, well, show us how you're treating these guys as independent contractors. Show us the lease agreement that you use. Metro did that. Then Pinnacle said, well, show us some the contract you're using with them, some signed copies of the contract. Metro did that. Then Pinnacle said to Metro, okay, we see you're treating them as independent contractors, which they have the right to do. We won't write them into the policy. And so we
did Pinnacle ask the third question, which would be, does the alternative coverage that Metro Taxi has obtained for these drivers meet the statutory requirements?
They did not ask that question. They relied on Metro. And the undisputed testimony at hearing was that was a proper way to underwrite the policy. And the reason is that Pinnacle can't go behind the alternative policy. In this case, it was an AIG policy. Well, Pinnacle doesn't get to negotiate that policy. Pinnacle doesn't get to underwrite it. Pinnacle doesn't get to look at it.
But can't Pinnacle tell, based on its expertise, whether the AIG policy meets the statutory requirement for alternative coverage? Isn't that just a matter of reading the policy?
I don't think so. Because especially when this policy was written in 2004, there was no law on what that was. There was no law on what similar coverage was. And no, I don't think they could. In fact, the underwriter here at one point testified she's a workers' comp underwriter. I mean, she can look at workers' compensation policy, but an AIG or separate policy under the Act might be similar or different in a lot of ways. Is she trained to understand an AIG employment practice policy? No, she's not. And that's not her duty. The duty to insure in Colorado is with the employer. 844-101 puts the duty on the employer, not the insurer. Pinnacle simply has to offer. And when we say offer, we mean offer a quote. It doesn't mean that we have to make sure your insurance is correct. It's the employer's duty to insure. So did they go behind and look to see that it satisfied that policy? No. Would we have known in 2004 when we wrote the Pinnacle policy if it was sufficient or similar coverage? No. There was no law. So we couldn't have looked at it. Nowhere in the policy does it list drivers. In the renewal forms, it doesn't ever list drivers. In the final audit for each year, it doesn't list drivers. We're talking about the policy. Nowhere does it list drivers. Well, the premium was $25,000 each year. If drivers had been included, it would have been $1.5 million. Metro never comes and says, oh, wait a minute, you didn't include all of our people. The policy that was written covered 80 people. Now, all of a sudden, they want to add 421 more people. They're cab drivers. The policy specifically listed 80 people and said 80 people. Metro never came and said, oh, wait a minute, you don't have everybody covered. Pinnacle even went on site to Metro to do an on-site visit, and they asked them, has anything changed? And by the way, the Gebrekadan decision is a case that was a Metro case where Pinnacle was dismissed from the case because Metro agreed Pinnacle did not cover their drivers. So Pinnacle was dismissed from the case. Metro lost that case. They stipulated that Pinnacle did not insure its drivers. A penalty was assessed against Metro for that, for not being insured. And so after that case, Pinnacle had gone out to the site where Metro physical facilities and asked, has anything changed on the policy? Metro says no. Pinnacle even asked, are you paying driver's claims out of your pocket? Metro lied. They said no. In fact, they were doing just that. Well, if there's coverage under the policy, why are they paying claims out of their pocket and then lying about it? And the reason is obvious. They didn't want to pay the premium. They knew they didn't have sufficient coverage. They want to turn the whole thing on its head and say, well, Pinnacle didn't underwrite this properly. How much more can you do than to ask for the lease agreement, ask for signed copies of the lease agreement, go out and do a site visit and ask if anything has changed, ask if they're paying claims out of their pockets. I mean, there's not a lot more this adjuster, this underwriter could have done. Now, we've cited on page 13 of our brief, two Colorado Court of Appeals cases, two Supreme Court cases that say, hey, if you're not in a covered class, you're not covered. Metro just ignores those cases. They try to say that they're no longer applicable for some reason. Well, there's no case law saying they don't apply anymore. It's been the law for over 80 years in this state. It's good law. It's settled law. It should continue to be the law. In their brief, Metro says, well, we're not sure those cases are valid anymore because the Workers' Compensation Act in 1990 was repealed and reenacted, so now we're under a different statutory scheme. What they don't tell the court is that the reenactment of the act in 1990 was to make it gender neutral. The bill was House Bill 90-1160, and it says an act concerning the non-substantive, quote, the non-substantive revision, close quote, of the act. So that's what Metro's relying on to say that somehow Grand Mesa and the cases we cited in a brief no longer apply. That's not a good argument. The cases still apply. They specifically hold that if you're not in a class, you're not covered. So when Metro stands here and says that, oh, the policy covers everybody all the time, that's just not the law. It's never been the law. And in those cases we cite, the cases don't turn on an endorsement that excluded an individual. They all turn on whether the individual was in a covered class. And in those cases, the individual was not in a covered class, and the court said there's no coverage. You know, Metro says also that the policy just covers drivers. Well, if there had been sufficient coverage under the AIG policy that Metro purchased, and Metro is responsible for monitoring, by the way, what would our policy have looked like? Okay, now there's sufficient coverage. What does our policy look like? Everybody agrees in Colorado you can't have an endorsement that excludes a class. There are hundreds of endorsements. There's hundreds of classes. Any workforce type job you can think of, there's a class. So you don't list 600 of them to say none of these are covered. You list what's covered on the policy. And if they had had sufficient alternative coverage, how would they have had us write the policy? We can't write an endorsement excluding taxi drivers, so how would it look? It would look exactly like our policy looked, with inclusion of office workers, salespeople, and garage workers, and not taxi drivers. That's what they asked for. That's what we did. The law does not require every insurance policy to cover every employee. Metro says two or three times in their briefs that 844-102 requires a policy to cover any liability of any employee. That is not what the statute says, and their quote is misleading. The statute says a policy may cover, doesn't say shall. And there's a reason that you don't have to cover every employee. And that's because under the Act, several employees or persons may be deemed not to be employees, may be excluded from coverage, whether it's ski workers, whether it's real estate workers, all in Section 8-40-301. And 8-40-3015 specifically says that common carriers working under a lease agreement may be excluded as employees. So Metro has every right to come to us and say, we don't want to cover our drivers. We're going to cover them as independent contractors. They have that right. Pinnacle cannot force them to pay us to cover the drivers. But when they exercise that right to treat them as independent contractors, then we switch over to the public utility statute, 40-11.5-102. And there's the responsibility for Metro Taxi to offer similar insurance to its drivers. It becomes Metro's responsibility. That's not even a workers' compensation statute. Pinnacle doesn't fall under that statute. That's a Public Utilities Commission statute applying to common carriers and requiring Metro to get the insurance it's supposed to get for its employees. It should be noted, too, the Metro is the one that lobbied for this bill. They're the ones that went to the legislature and said, we don't want to cover our drivers. It's too expensive. So they got a bill that passes. You don't have to cover them. But now they come and say, wait a minute. Even though we didn't ask for coverage, even though we didn't pay you coverage, even though we didn't pay $7.5 million worth of coverage, and even though we admitted in several other cases we don't have coverage, and even though our general manager testified under oath that we don't have coverage for our drivers, now they get a claim they don't want to pay out of pocket, and boom, all of a sudden there's coverage. It doesn't work that way. They're not entitled to free coverage. They're entitled to what they ask for, and they're entitled to treat their employees, their drivers, as independent contractors. We cannot force them to insure them under the Workers' Compensation Act. They have the right, legislature's given them the right to either treat them as independent contractors, in which case it's their responsibility to get insurance for them. In our supplemental authority, we cited a decision by Judge Hoffman, and he laid it out better than I ever could, that if you read the statutes, that's exactly what the duty is. Hey, if they're going to insure them under the compact and they ask for Pinnacle for a quote, Pinnacle has to offer them a quote. Now, offer doesn't necessarily mean pay. Somebody's got to pay for it, but they have to offer a quote. And if they don't decide to insure them under the work comp, then it's their job and their duty, their responsibility. They bear the risk if they're not insured. And for a couple of practical reasons, that makes sense, that it should be their responsibility. And that is, if they have an alternative coverage under AIG, and let's say it actually does have similar coverage, that's great. But what happens after 2 months? Metro decides not to pay the premiums anymore. We wouldn't know that. Metro is the one in charge of negotiating that coverage. They're the ones in charge of monitoring that coverage. They have all the employees. They have 421 employees, drivers. They're the ones in charge with the ability and practical ability to maintain that coverage. That's not Pinnacle's responsibility. Pinnacle's responsibility is to insure under the Workers' Compensation Act. I have 1 minute left, and so I just want to jump, if I may, to the game I say that they're playing. And they are playing a game here. They know there's no coverage under that policy, and they're looking for a way to save this claim. It's too big to pay out of their pocket. They don't want to pay this one out of their pocket. But they've saved $7.5 million so they can pay it. But what they do is, they knew after, in 2007, when the Gebrekidan decision came down and they were penalized, that they didn't have sufficient insurance. They could have come to Pinnacle at that point to get it. They could have gone to another insurer. There's 500 insurers in this state. Workers' compensation insurance, they could have gotten it that way. They could have self-insured. But no, they decided to go bare. It's their responsibility. They're the ones that are playing a game with the system. They want the AIG insurance, so they can say, we don't need comp insurance. Then when AIG is not sufficient, they'll pay it out of their pocket. If it's too big a claim, they don't want to pay it out of their pocket. All of a sudden, Pinnacle has to pay this out of the blue. That's not the way the system works. It's a game they've been playing for years, and it should stop. Thank you.
I apologize. I'm going to have to jump around to a lot of points here. Initially, notably missing from Pinnacle's argument is really any reference to the various parts of the policy other than the declarations page. And it's well-established law, you cannot simply look at one piece of a policy. The broad grant of coverage is there in the policy.
Why wouldn't the principle that we apply to statutes that a specific provision controls a general provision defeat your argument?
Actually, I addressed that in my brief. Because the more specific provision here is the workers' comp provision, which says that the policy will cover employers for injuries to employees. That is the more specific provision that covers.
More specific than the declaration?
Oh, okay. I see. I thought we were talking about statutes. No, because you have to construe every component of a policy in determining the meaning of the whole policy is what the Supreme Court held in Weisar versus Allstate. So, and if you look at the declarations page, there's no specific exclusion language there. Indeed, every piece of written provisions in the policy that deals with the classifications talks about the tenuous nature of the classifications and their use in determining the estimated premium, and that they are subject to change. So that's why you have to read the whole policy, and you go to the insuring agreement, and as I say, you can't find an exclusion. Now, a couple of other quick points that I think are critical. First of all, with regard to the assertion vis-a-vis underwriting, the question was asked about, well, couldn't they have determined whether the policy was appropriate, the AIG policy? And the answer is yes. In 2004, this court announced the USF versus ICAO decision, wherein it undertook an analysis of a separate policy, held that that policy was inadequate, and therefore held that the driver was an employee and entitled to workers' comp benefits. So I recommend that decision to court. One critical point here, because I'm running out of time, is the assertion that there are cases which deal with covered classes at page 13 and 14 of Pinnacle's brief is absolutely incorrect. The cases cited therein dealt with the naturally connected theory that some of this court's cases had addressed, and we addressed those in our brief and distinguished them. We'd ask that the matter be set aside and remanded for determination of coverage.
We appreciate the arguments of both counsel. The case stands submitted. Counsel are excused. We will issue a written opinion in due course.